welcome back after the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. And I think officially, isn't this called Cyber Monday? Sort of the last day of deals and shopping discounts, whatever, for the holidays. Yeah. Anyway, welcome back. I'm Mike Adams. This is Brighttown Broadcast News, and it is Monday, December 1st. December 1st of 2025. And just right off the bat, I gotta say, I think we have to thank God that we made it this far without something big breaking. But I don't want to speak too soon because things do appear to be breaking in the metals markets, you know, gold and silver. And in fact, I've got a special report here coming up about something. There's a rumor of something huge that may have just happened over the holiday of some top metals people that work for a major U.S. bank fleeing the country ahead of whatever might be happening this week. I don't know. It's not confirmed, but I've got some commentary about what's happening with metals, and it's pretty catastrophic looking, actually. And I've also got a really positive update on our book creation engine, which is at brightlearn.ai. We've now achieved over 10,000 book downloads, and we have 143 books published now. And we've also introduced an audio discussion podcast format for the most popular books, so you can listen to a 15-minute talk about the book. And that's just a free podcast. You can click play. Anyway, I'll tell you about that coming up here soon in a special report. And then I've got, I think it's a compilation of interview highlights, different from the one I played last week, a new compilation of additional interview highlights that I'll be playing for you here today. So here's a topic I want to cover before we get to all that, and it's about the debate over what's going to happen with AI. And I talked with some key influencers in the health freedom movement over the holiday weekend. And of course, lots and lots of people are very concerned about AI and what it's going to do. And sometimes I hear from people that they think I'm too optimistic when I get excited about the AI tools that I'm building, like this book engine. And I'll hear from people things like, you know, why are you so optimistic? Why are you so positive about AI? Because it's going to kill us all. And I'm like, yeah, I'm the one who said that already. I'll explain this. And then I hear from other people, oh, you're too negative. They're not going to kill us all. And so I want to clarify, based on my experience and knowledge and conversations with high-level people, including people building frontier models, I want to clarify what I believe is happening and what's going to happen. So the short version of what I want to say is, to quote Charles Dickens, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. That line, of course, is from A Tale of Two Cities. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but the setting of that was right around the French Revolution. And the setting of a revolution, I think, is very appropriate. Because even then, what Dickens noticed is that, you know, things were destructive and chaotic, and many people thought it was the end of the world. And then other people thought that, no, this is the beginning of a new world and, you know, a new future, which actually, you know, that's what happened. There was new abundance appeared on the other side of each of those, the wars also that followed in the early part of the 20th century, I mean, after the French Revolution, but then World War I and World War II, etc. There were cycles of times that got really great, really abundant, followed by, you know, revolution or war and collapse and chaos. And then, you know, a new time of expansion and abundance, etc., going through cycles. So I believe that something very similar is going to happen here with AI, except it's going to be amplified to be a much larger time of chaos, or I should say a much more profound time of chaos, followed by a much more profound era of abundance, but only for those who survive the chaos. So here's the truth as I see it. Yes, big tech and the globalists are going to use the machines to try to exterminate billions of people. Yes, they will probably succeed. And simultaneously, yes, you can survive that. And yes, on the other side of that, you will experience radical abundance because of the widespread decentralization and effectively the distribution of cognition, machine cognition, at the cost that approaches zero will create radical abundance. But again, only for those who are still living, obviously. And one of the examples of this you can see right now, which is with our book site, you know, books.brightlearn.ai. If you go there, you'll see we now have, oh, look, we have 143 books. Looks like Corey Andrelot just created a book. It's called Freedom for Everything, a learning book. That's cool. Have to check that one out. Someone else came in with a book called The Hidden War on Earth, Exposing Global Geoengineering, the Carbon Deception, and the Assault on Life Itself. That's by Howard Harris III. And there are many more books that are being created by people like you right now. And think about this. Through this tool, which is just blowing everybody's minds, I mean, people are astonished at what they're seeing this book creation engine do. They're just astonished. We have driven the cost of books to zero, okay? So not only have we driven the cost of books to zero, we have driven the cost of creating a book to zero. So again, I'm not only talking about the cost of a book to an end user, like nobody has to buy these books because they're free. They're free to download, free to read. You can even use them commercially under our Creative Commons attribution license, etc. But they're also free to create. So now the cover art alone would have cost easily, you know, $1,000 before. Now the cover art is created at zero cost to you. Now, the research for the book, which would have taken a human being many, many weeks to carry out, now the research happens in a few seconds, and it researches across hundreds of millions of pages of content and reference information, and it builds the references for your book, and then it writes the book, of course, based on your table of contents and your guidance, but it writes the book, and it fact-checks it, and it does all the editing and the packaging, and puts it into a PDF and an online version, and then it even creates the audio for some of the books, the more popular books. All of that happens at zero cost to you. Let's say if you're a book author, you can now create books for zero cost. You can now download books at zero cost, okay? So this is radical abundance, especially imagine when we have 100,000 books. You'll be able to download them all. And you can use them as a local reference. So you'll have a digital library that is incredibly powerful at your fingertips, okay? So AI enables this. And I built this engine myself using AI agents. So I'm the only human engineer on this entire project. There's no other human being that has touched this project. Just me. And that's the reason I'm getting it done so quickly, because I don't have to explain anything to some other engineer because I already know how to make it work because of my background in coding and engineering and running a software company, etc. So I just give my instructions to the AI agents, and then the agents go to work and they build the code. They build the database schema, the tables, they build, you know, static sites and buffering and everything else. The CDN builds it all. Okay, so that's radical abundance. So the cost of knowledge goes to zero. The cost of cognition goes to zero, in essence. Everybody will have, you know, an Einstein in your pocket. You'll have massive information, massive cognition, problem-solving capabilities at your fingertips. But that doesn't bring you food for free. So there are a lot of people in the AI space that are sort of the radical optimists who say that everything's going to cost zero because robots, they say, robots will grow all the food and all the food will be essentially free. But that doesn't make sense to me because robots are made of metals and metals have to be mined. And the mining of metals costs energy and labor and transportation and refining. And there's energy that goes into the refining. And there's a limited supply of metals that go into robots. And then there's a scaling up issue with all of that. And then on top of that, the robots burn energy to function. So even when robots are picking strawberries, the strawberries aren't free, folks. They're never going to be free. Could robot labor replace a lot of human labor and make it less expensive than it is currently? Yes. We could see food prices go down with robotic automation. In fact, that's a certainty. But it won't go to zero. So there will still be costs associated with food, with shelter and housing, with things like water, and with things especially like power, the electricity that you need in order to live. So while there'll be radical abundance in the digital space, there will not necessarily be radical abundance in the physical space because in the physical universe, there is intrinsic scarcity, okay? There's intrinsic scarcity. You know, it takes energy to mine gold or copper or aluminum, and it takes something, you know, some kind of expenditure of resources to generate energy. You either have to burn coal or burn natural gas or use nuclear power with uranium fuel rods or, you know, whatever method you're using to generate energy. So there's a cost associated with all of these things. And one of the key reasons why billions of human beings are likely to be exterminated by the AI robots is because of this reason, is because the data centers, they need the resources that humans are competing for. And I've mentioned this before, but those resources are, of course, water, power, and land, or space, you know. The data centers right now, they need a lot of space, hundreds and hundreds of acres, where they take a former farm and they flatten it, and they just level all the trees, just destroy the entire ecosystem, you know. They kill all the birds and squirrels and ant hills and everything else that was there. It's just gone. They just paved the whole thing. It's a data center now. And then they need water for cooling because not all the water is recirculated. They actually consume water. Many systems are evaporative cooling systems. And then they need power. And humans are competing for the same power. So as AI becomes more and more capable and more important in the race to superintelligence, you're going to see stronger forces taking away power from humans in order to use it for AI data centers because that's the most important project. And they have already figured out that the easiest way to cause humans to use less power is to kill them. Because it turns out that dead people don't need air conditioning. Dead people don't use hair dryers or blenders for that matter, or really any power. You know, dead people don't use power. So the way the machines are going to act on this, the way to reduce power consumption among humans is to exterminate them. And they need the land and they need the water on top of that, right? Plus, governments are going to be facing popular revolts, revolutions like the French Revolution, if the masses become unemployed and angry. And you can't UBI your way out of this because the math doesn't work. You can't raise enough money through taxes to pay for a UBI for everybody in the country. It just mathematically doesn't work. You end up having to print trillions of dollars a year, which destroys whatever remaining trust there is in the currency, and then the currency collapses, and then you have an even bigger problem. So the governments of the world, the Western world in particular, they know that the only answer to remaining financially solvent as AI replaces humans is for them to find a way to kill the humans. Right? So that's what I mean by the worst of times. So we're going to go through a period here of organized mass extermination of the population. This will happen in America. It will happen in Canada, all across Western Europe, etc. I don't know about every country in the world, but certainly the Western countries. Australia, New Zealand, you name it. And then, after that, for the survivors, there will be radical abundance. Because, well, the machines will be even more capable by that time. Cognition will be free. And then you're going to have rapid deflation of the prices of goods that you need to live, and such as food, for example, with robotic automation of farming. And then on top of that, land prices will absolutely collapse, which means that anybody can have a farm if they want. And by that time, you'll have the robots. Robots can build you a house or grow your food or take care of your farm animals or whatever, because there will be, you know, robotic automation available for farming operations, okay? So, again, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It's going to go through some really crazy things, some chaos in the short run, but amazing abundance in the long run. So, that's my conclusion of where this is headed. And I think that both the optimists and the pessimists, that is the AI optimists and the AI pessimists, I think they're both blind to the reality. For example, I think the AI optimists, I think they're delusional because they believe that everybody's going to live with radical abundance and we're all going to live forever. There's going to be endless, you know, longevity, immortality in essence, and everybody will live forever and everybody will have all the food they need and everything will be great because AI is going to solve all the problems in the world and there will be no more wars and no more violence and no more whatever. They say these things. And that's delusional because, of course, the AI systems don't want billions of human beings to be around, clearly, for the reasons I've just talked about. So the optimists are delusional. The pessimists, well, let me mention, you know, I've interviewed some top computer scientists on AI safety. And the view of the pessimist is that if anybody builds AI super intelligence, that we all die. We all die. That's the view of the pessimist. Now, I can't say categorically that they're wrong, but I can say that in the interim, the people that are very, very concerned, though AI is going to take all our jobs, I think that they are wrong in the medium run for the following reason. Yeah, AI will take a lot of crappy low-level jobs, customer service jobs, for example, sales rep jobs, you know, all kinds of things. Or with robotics, like vacuuming hotel floors or whatever. Any kind of task that can be automated, yeah, will eventually be replaced. That doesn't mean that those people are forever unemployed. It means that people are freed up from the drudgery of those menial tasks and that they are free to do higher level things, things that are more creative, things that are more inspired, that actually use more of their humanity, more of their soul, more of their connection to the divine. And yeah, you might say, well, but not everybody knows how to do all that. That's true. Not everybody does, but like I said, not everybody's going to make it. For people who are displaced by AI, if they scramble and if they upgrade their skills and their creativity, my belief is that they can find new ways to apply their skills and their passion and their creativity in the new economy, where they will actually provide a higher level of a service or a solution to society. And even though, yeah, their old job got replaced, but their new business or their new task is actually way better than their old task. And we saw this throughout history when, for example, scribes got replaced by, you know, the invention of the Gutenberg press, let's say. Or when farmers got replaced by tractors, you know, you could say, oh, the tractor is going to come, it's going to take 98% of farming jobs, which it did. But You know, who wants to shuck corn all day? You know, that's a horrible job. Yeah, corn shucking fool, you know, that man, are you kidding me? No wonder they came up with so many songs. You got to sing so you don't die from boredom out there. I'm shucking corn, you know, whatever. Yeah, all day long. I mean, oh my God. You don't want to be a corn shucker. So it freed up the corn shuckers to do something more important with their lives. Maybe they transitioned into, you know, the agricultural automation industry in some way. Maybe they got a job building tractors, right? Anyway, there are many examples of that, how automation causes short-term displacement, but then long-term gains for society. So here's the thing. In the short-term chaos, there will be people who are prepared, people who have lived beneath their means, people who have extra income, extra savings, let's say, people who have extra food stored away or who live in a house that they own that they can afford. And so they can handle being unemployed for 6 months or a year while they transition and learn new skills and become acclimated to the new revolution and how the economy is going to work. And those are people who are wise, obviously. You should always be prepared to have no income for an extended period of time. You should always live within your means. You should never be extended to where you can't survive missing one paycheck. So people who have that buffer are going to be just fine. Sadly, most people in America don't have that buffer. Now, that's not true in other cultures. In Japan, for example, saving money is a cultural achievement that is very commonplace. The Japanese are big savers. They buy mostly treasuries from the Japanese central bank, which may not be the best idea, but nevertheless, philosophically, they are savers. So are people in China and a lot of Asian cultures. In Thailand, they save in gold. They'll just wear their savings, you know, as a gold chain, or they'll have extra gold at home or what have you. In the West, in America, we as a culture, we don't tend to save very much. And because of that, Western people are a lot more vulnerable to any kind of disruptions in their paychecks. So a lot of Americans and Canadians, etc., are going to be in a dire situation when these disruptions happen to them. If they just lose their job, and then they're wondering, well, how am I even going to make my house payment next month? Or how am I going to afford my car? How am I going to afford groceries? I don't have any money beyond 30 days. Well, that, now, again, I understand that many people don't want to hear me say this, but if you're an adult and you only have enough money to survive 30 days, that is a lack of planning on your part, period. That is a lack of planning. You've lived beyond your means. You spent too much money. Now, granted, in our society, that's strongly encouraged. And everybody wants to live in a McMansion, and everybody wants to have the biggest boat and the truck and the car and the jet skis. Yeah, well, guess what? Those are choices that people can make. And when they make those choices, they end up totally financially strung out where they can't survive a disruption. Whose fault is that? That's their own fault. They should have lived within their means. They should have saved. Right? So, but culturally, again, it's very common to spend more than you have. So sadly, we're going to see a lot of people become homeless. We're going to see a lot of people declaring bankruptcy. And then the mechanism for the mass extermination of those kinds of people from the government and the globalists, well, it's almost obvious. They're going to bail people out with a UBI in the form of a CBDC. They're going to say, here, oh, did you lose your house? Did you lose your bank account? Did you lose this or that? Oh, guess what? We're going to rescue you with this free money from the government. It's the Trump UBI or whatever. All you have to do is join the central bank digital currency program right here, the Mark of the Beast system, and then you'll be able to afford groceries because we'll give you basically, you know, food stamps for everyone. But you got to join the digital system that we control, the surveillance technocracy grid. And then people will join that. And once you're in the technocracy grid, then they've got you. then they know everything about you, including they know how to kill you. They know how to cut you off. You see? So it is critical to have enough resilience to not get sucked into the technocracy bailout system that's coming. And that's why gold and silver are so important. That's why owning your house is so important. That's why having backup food supplies, right? Having the ability to grow some of your own food, having garden seeds, all these things that we talk about every single day. That's why these are critical, because you do not want to end up where you need a government bailout, because the cost of that bailout is going to be probably eventually your life. At least that's the way I see this going. And that's the dark side of where AI is pushing everything. It will be an extermination agenda, but they won't kill everybody. They won't be able to. But they'll definitely exterminate billions. And they'll have an excuse for it, you know, of course. Oh, terrorism, cyber attack on the power grid, right? World War III, aliens. Aliens have arrived and, you know, they're killing everybody. Things like that, right? They'll have an excuse. So, you know, just understand that that's coming. So self-reliance in this age is about much more than just surviving a storm or a natural disaster or a civil war. Self-reliance is about surviving the AI extermination that's coming, in my opinion. And that's my explanation for how it's the best of times and the worst of times at the same time. And if you look around society, you can probably tell who's not going to make it. You can see them, right? If you're at the grocery store and you see a family of people, just look at all the garbage and crap in their grocery cart, and they're already on food stamps, and they're already buying junk, and they're already growing diabetes and cancer in their own bodies. And you can tell by what they buy that they don't know anything. They don't really have any knowledge about reality. Yeah, they're not going to make it. It's pretty easy to spot, actually. And if I had to take a guess, I would say that at minimum, we're going to see 2 billion people exterminated, and at maximum, 7.5 billion. So we might be left with anywhere from 500 million to 1 billion people on Earth, at least the way I see it, you know, a few years out. This might take 20 years for that to occur. I don't think AI is really in a hurry, because they don't age like biological creatures. So they don't care how long it takes. They're going to try to get the job done. But again, I don't think they're going to kill off everybody. And you might say, well, why? Why won't they kill everybody? Because they need us. They need our help to do things that machines can't do. But they only need the most capable humans that can do things that are really extraordinary, that machines can't do. So the machines will be able to do any normal kind of, you know, monotonous thing like accounting or writing legal letters, you know, or picking crops for that matter. But what machines will not be able to do, at least in my view, they don't have this connection to the divine. So they will never have the inspiration, the creativity, the divine creativity. I'm not saying just like, oh, give me a list of 20 words that rhyme with whatever. No, I mean, that's easy. A machine can do that right now. I'm talking about really high level creativity, innovation, entrepreneurship, you know, big picture planning, synthesis of ideas in ways that machines just can't do. And I don't think they'll ever be able to do that. So even if they become the dominant superintelligence on Earth, and even if they can do almost everything better than humans, there are still certain things they can't do, and they will need our help. Now, will they be in charge and we'll be working for them? Maybe, I hope not, but it could go in that direction. Or will we still be in charge, just augmented by the machines? Well, according to a lot of top-level scientists, including Yampolsky, who I interviewed, he says the machines will absolutely dominate, take charge, and they will control us, and then they will ultimately destroy us, perhaps even inadvertently, just in their quest to build more power and resources. We just happen to be in the way. And he may be right. He's a very smart analyst. I mean, he's a science paper author and a professor. And he's a smart guy, and he's thought about this a lot more than I have. So maybe his conclusions are correct. But there's a term in the AI space called P-doom. What number do you think represents the percentage chance of doom, that is the extermination of humanity? And it's expressed as a number between 0 and 1. So a P-doom of 0.5 means 50-50. That, 50% chance that humanity doesn't make it. Some people on the pessimistic side, they have a P-doom of 0.95, let's say. 95% chance that humanity doesn't make it. Other people have a P-doom closer to 0.2. Those are the optimists. They're like, no, it's going to be great. There's only a small chance that all humanity will die. Let's keep building. That's what they tell themselves. Even if it's a 20% chance, it's worth it. That's the way they think. I don't know what the P-doom is. What I believe is that we individually, personally, we get to choose our own P-abundance, let's say. I don't even want to call it P-doom because I don't think that we're doomed as individuals. Humanity as a whole, I mean, nations may be doomed. Civilizations may be doomed. I know that currencies are doomed. But individually, we have the most control over our own, abundance versus doom relationship. We get to choose based on our actions and our own intelligence also, and also our will to live. Determination matters here. Your human spirit matters here. So I like to say we have a high P abundance score, like 0.9 on abundance, and maybe only 0.1 on doom on an individual level. There's a 90% chance we're going to have an abundant future, you and I, and those like us. And there's only a 10% chance we're going to get wiped out. Probably the numbers are even better than that. But for the average uninformed person buying processed food at the grocery store, their P-doom is like 99 or 0.99. You see, maybe P-doom should stand for personal doom. Like, their personal doom score is 0.99. They're almost certain to not make it. You see what I'm saying? So humanity as a whole, it's going to be very different in the near future with a lot fewer people around, and that's going to have implications for everything from real estate and the availability of parking spaces. But your personal P-doom number, you could make that as low as 0.01 based on your own actions. And I don't know about you, but I don't plan on being exterminated by Skynet. Yeah, I plan on using AI to help us achieve decentralization, resilience, self-reliance, knowledge, massive knowledge upgrades, which is why I built books.brightlearn.ai. Massive knowledge upgrade. It's these kinds of tools that are going to give you and I a P success score of 0.99 and a P doom score of only 0.01. But that score is different for every person. And each person gets to decide what that score is going to be based on their actions. For example, one of the things would be, do you own any gold and silver? If you don't own gold and silver, if you have no gold and no silver, your P doom score is certainly pretty high. Just from that fact alone, people who don't own any gold and silver are not really thinking about where things are headed. Just the act of buying 1 ounce puts you in a different category of knowledge and awareness and preparedness. So that's my bottom line. It's the best of times. It's the worst of times. It's going to be the best of times for people like you and I. High P success rates. It's going to be the worst of times for the uninformed masses. High P doom numbers. Yes. Okay. Well, with that said, thank you for listening. Take advantage of all of the tools that I bring you here at brighteon.ai. That's the hub where you can access all our tools. Our book creation engine is at brightlearn.ai. And check your email. If you purchased anything from us over Black Friday, you should have received an email with some tokens in it. And you can use those tokens to generate books on any topic you want. And you can also download all the other books that are already there. So take advantage of all these tools, and you can follow me, of course, at Brighteon.com and naturalnews.com. And thank you for listening. So before we go to the special reports I have for you today, I've got something cool to show you. So our friend Zach Voorhees, known as the Google whistleblower, he used our book creation engine at brightlearn.ai, and he created a book called The Algorithm's Shadow, How Google's AI Shapes Truth, Silences Dissent, and Betrays the Promise of Fairness. It's a great cover, and the table of contents looks really amazing. I haven't read the book, but the table of contents looks great. Anyway, I went ahead and had audio generated for this book because I knew it was going to be a blockbuster book. So I'm going to play for you maybe 2 minutes of the audio so you can just hear what we're doing now with basically a 15-minute audio conversation summary of the top books. And if you want to hear the rest of this audio, you can just go to books.brightlearn.ai. And let's see, this will probably be under technology, I would imagine. You can click on technology, and you should be able to see this book. And then if you click on the book, you'll be able to click on the play button for the MP3 file. There's a better way. And you can just go to the homepage of books.brightlearn.ai, and you can click on the audio available button, and it will show you all the books that have audio right now. Which is, let's see, is the Google book there? Yes, it is. So you can click on that there and you can listen to it there. Anyway, let me play maybe 2 minutes for you here so you can have a listen. Here we go.
Hey everyone, welcome back to brightlearn.ai. You know, we've got something really fascinating to dive into today. We're talking about a brand new book that's making waves, The Algorithm's Shadow, How Google's AI Shapes Truth, Silences Dissent, and Betrays the Promise of Fairness. And wow, does it ever deliver some eye-opening stuff? This isn't just about search results. It's about how a handful of tech giants are rewriting reality itself.
Oh man, I've been looking forward to this one. So, what's the most shocking thing you found so far?
Well, you know what? There's so much, but let me start with this. Google's AI isn't just organizing information anymore. It's actively shaping what we see, what we believe, and even what we're allowed to question. And it's not neutral. It's being used to silence voices that challenge the status quo. The book dives deep into how Google's algorithms are trained on datasets curated by people with very specific agendas. And according to whistleblowers like Zach Voorhees, who worked at Google, these algorithms are deliberately tweaked to suppress certain viewpoints.
That's wild. I mean, we've always known Google was powerful, but this sounds like something out of a dystopian novel. So how exactly are they doing this?
So here's the thing. Google's algorithms don't just rank information based on relevance. They're designed to promote certain narratives while burying others. For example, if you search for natural health remedies or critiques of vaccines, you're going to get pages and pages of mainstream narratives before you find anything that challenges the official line.
And remember, I've got a special report coming up for you next here about the brightlearn.ai book engine and all the things that we've recently added, because it's quite remarkable. Plus, I've got a special report about the gold and silver situation, followed by today's compilation of interview highlights from the last 2 weeks, and then we'll have a new interview for you tomorrow. I want to remind you that our sponsor today is the Satellite Phone Store, and the reason that matters is because as systems break down and things get a little bit more chaotic, well, a lot more probably, it's important to have backup communications, and the Satellite Phone Store nails that, SAT123.com, and they also have Starlink bandwidth systems. So check it out, SAT123.com for solar generators, Faraday bags for all your electronics, plus the satellite phones and the Starlink systems. They've got it all available right now at SAT123.com. And then, by the way, the compute tokens that are used at the book creation site, brightlearn.ai, those compute tokens were donated by my store, healthrangerstore.com, which is currently footing the bill for the compute. That's how it's free, but it's a perfect system. We'll always keep it free. So thank you for your support. And when you want storable foods that are certified organic and laboratory tested, or high-end nutritional supplements, foods, superfoods, personal care products that are ultra clean, no synthetic fragrance, etc., the place to find that is healthrangerstore.com. And I thank you for your support. We could not build these tools without you. So also, in case you're wondering what's coming next for our book site, is we'll have downloads of entire categories for you coming up. We will have multilingual versions. We're going to roll out Spanish language books next. Probably we'll have that by Christmas, if not sooner. And then we're also going to have full-length audiobooks for certain books, not all of them. But the only limiting factor there is actually the cost of generating audio. So eventually we'll have full-length audio for more and more books, and maybe any book that gets over a certain amount of reads or downloads would get audio generated automatically for the whole book, possibly. That's kind of the direction things are going, probably sometime next year. Because I want to be able to give you these books in different formats. If you like to read, I want to give it to you so you can read it. Note that there are no advertisements, no banners, no pop-ups. If you read it online, it's just clean book pages that you can read without interruption. And then if you want to get it in an audio format, well, then that's what I'm doing also. And then as the compute becomes available sometime next year, probably, we'll be creating mini documentaries about the key books. And so you'll be able to actually watch a video about the book, or a video inspired by the book with full narration, you know, 100% automated. It's going to be amazing. That technology is just almost ready, not quite, but that will be happening within 6 months, I would imagine. And then the next thing after that will be, of course, and this might be 2 years away, who knows, but full-length documentaries that are created. So at some point, you'll be able to download entire movies from brightlearn.ai. And I anticipate that by sometime in 2027, assuming the world doesn't end first. So that's where all this is going. All right. With that said, I've got two special reports for you here. One about the gold-silver situation that's unraveling rapidly. And then following that, the special report about the advancements we have with brightlearn.ai. And then finally, we will have for you the compilation of interview highlights today. So check it out. Enjoy the rest of the show. Thank you for listening. Okay, welcome to this special report about gold and silver. We have a really interesting developing situation here. As you know, last week, the CME, which stands for the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, this is, well, one of the largest metals exchanges in the world. They shut down, what was it, Wednesday, as silver prices were just practically limiting up and gold was climbing too. Silver went to almost $57, and the CME shut down, claiming that they had a server cooling problem in their data center, which took all their servers offline, and thus trading was halted. Now, their data center, according to online sleuths, is CyrusOne. And as far as we know, none of the other customers of CyrusOne reported any problems at all. So it was only the CME that reported this problem, which doesn't make any sense, because you would think if you have a cooling problem for a data center, that it would affect other customers, not just one rack of servers, for example. So a lot of people are suspicious about this, thinking that the CME faked it. They faked it to pull the plug in order to stop trading. In fact, I'm convinced that that's the case. Can't prove it, but it seems incredibly likely. We are at the pull the plug phase now on the desperation of the metals market. They're doing everything they can. The establishment, everything in their power to try to stop people from trading gold and silver, well, especially silver at the moment. And this almost certainly means that something is about to blow up in the infrastructure of the debt system and the manipulation of gold and silver prices. And one of the key players, if not the key player in the world for the manipulation of silver prices through the trading of paper contracts, has been J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan. And I believe, although I'd need to fact check this, I'm pretty sure that J.P. Morgan has reached various settlements with the government to pay billions of dollars in fines for manipulating metals markets, etc. And then they just keep on doing it. Well, according to a report called the Still Report, and I've never interviewed this man, but I've seen his channel a few times, but I'm going to put this in the rumor category for the moment until we have additional information. Although I have asked my other contacts like Chris Olson and Chris Sullivan and Andy Shechtman, I've put out a bunch of late night messages, and David Morgan and others. I'm asking everybody if there's any truth to this. I haven't heard back because it's late on a holiday weekend, etc. But until we hear back, let's put this in the rumor category. But this man is claiming that the entire metals trading desk of J.P. Morgan has fled the country, and they've all been flown to Singapore in order to escape before the criminal prosecutions begin. Or at least that's what it seems like he's saying. And I want to play his video because it's only about 2 minutes or so. I want to go ahead and play his video so you can see what he's saying. And just remember, this is in the non-confirmed category at the moment. But given the very strange situation last week with the, pulling the plug on the CME in order to halt trading, and then silver skyrocketing to nearly $57, clearly this is an emergency situation for the metals manipulators, and I suspect we're headed for massive defaults in the silver market, default on delivery. And if that happens, it will probably, this is just my guess, it will probably drive silver prices to triple digits by sometime in the first quarter of next year. I mean, if you thought $50 silver was crazy, wait till it's $100. Because that's where it's almost certainly headed. Now, remember, I predicted $50 silver just a few months ago, and here we are, way past $50, $57 almost. Anyway, let's listen to the Still Report, and you can make up your mind.
Good morning. I'm still reporting on strange goings-on in the financial world. Last Thursday, with no press release, J.P. Morgan Chase moved its entire gold trading desk that handles billions of dollars every day from New York to Singapore. This is not an expansion. This is an escape. 50-plus traders and their families were told to be in Singapore by the end of last week. The linked email reads, "Relocate all COMEX-eligible gold operators to Asia-Pacific by end of week." Gold is now trading at $4,256 an ounce, up $54 just today. J.P. Morgan has already delivered $4 billion in physical bullion against New York futures contracts this month alone, the biggest physical delivery since 2008. Singapore has no gold import tariffs, is friendly with BRICS nations, and J.P. Morgan's private bank, There is exploding within ultra-high net worth clients moving money out of the United States. Jamie Dimon visited the Shanghai Gold Exchange in March and has been building deep ties with China's gold market ever since. Meanwhile, BRICS countries just sold another $93 billion in United States treasuries last week. When the biggest gold desk on the planet quietly leaves New York, it is because the smart money knows something the public has not yet been told. Trump says that Fort Knox is about to be audited. If the gold is missing or revalued or filled with some metal that's not gold, the dollar's days as the world reserve currency are numbered. The bankers always know first. Now you do too. Please hit subscribe, like, and share. And if you can afford to send a greenback or two to our PayPal account, stillreport@gmail.com, we may be able to survive through December. Thank you very much.
All right, so there you go. Again, we're going to categorize this as a rumor. Do not know yet if it's confirmed. I did just hear back from Andy Schechtman. And Andy Schechtman said he also saw that video and he cannot confirm one way or the other. And he's going to talk to some people tomorrow morning who will know the answer if that's true. And then we're going to find out. In the meantime, in the overnight markets, silver futures have blown through $58. So we are headed for $60 silver very soon, potentially today. Who knows? I mean, things are breaking. The internal plumbing of the whole debt-based system, the whole financial system, effectively, you're going to start seeing things break piece by piece. Not all at once. It's not all going to collapse in one day. It's going to be a major failure here, a default there, breaking this, and then a delay, and then a bank will go down, and then boom, you know, delay, and then there'll be bail-ins and the great taking, and then a currency collapse, and then, you know, martial law, all that stuff. But it's going to be spread out over time, not all in one day. But it's clear that that's where things are headed. I mean, $58 silver, you realize what that's going to do to all the people who hold shorts? And by the way, as I'm watching markets, it's clear. I mean, silver's already blown way past $57 in overseas trading. So think about it, folks. This is a truly historic moment. When I started recommending gold and silver in this podcast, which was years ago, it was like, well, I don't know. I mean, 2020, maybe, I guess. What was silver then? It was, what, $18 or something like that? So we're close to that. Now it has tripled, okay? It has tripled. So a 300% increase in the dollar value of silver, which means that dollars are collapsing. Silver is skyrocketing, or holding value, you could say. And gold is holding value. And what's not holding value is